Federal Pacific is the company that made these breaker panels called Stablock breaker panels.
Yep.
And they were built in the 60s and into the 70s. And then they were discovered to be fire hazards and they could never build them anymore. But a lot of properties are left over with these breaker panels and insurance companies do not like them.
Welcome to Multifamily Deal Lab, where your host, Dave Lindahl, dissects recent multifamily deals done by his guests. Dave will extract what went right, what went wrong, and a number of key takeaways so your next deal may be more profitable.
All right, welcome to another edition of Multifamily Deal Lab, where we dissect deals step by step. So today I am with John
Totterud.
Did I do it right?
Yep.
And where are you from? Tell everybody where you're from.
I am from Seattle.
Ooh,
a little bit outside of Seattle.
You go to that fish market where they throw the fish?
Oh, yeah. I take tourists there. It's fun to visit. Yes.
I've been there a few times. It's really fun. I grew up working in a fish market. I grew up working in my grandmother's fish market. I started there when I was 7 years old, weighing up the scallops. So listen, John, we're going to talk about two different deals here. You wanted to describe the deals real quick?
Sure. First of all, I would say thank you for inviting me to join you. And thank you for all that you do, Dave. It's like you help so many of us get to the point where we're going out and helping investors that we know to reach our own personal and financial goals. Just make sure that you knew that. So the deals I was interested in talking about with you today are me and partners have closed in the last year. One was last summer. I was a 96-unit property in Tulsa, Oklahoma called French Quarters. Partners closed it. It was a low occupancy deal. We saw it earlier in 2021 and knew that at under 50% occupancy.
Wow.
It was doing a lot of renovations. And
we could probably do the whole episode on that deal. What's the other deal?
The other deal is a property I just closed on about the end of February, about 2 or 3 weeks ago. Midland Court in Kansas City is actually a 1031 exchange deal and interesting in its own right. Sold a property that I had in the last year and bought this. I don't have partners on it, obviously. This is a 1031. So it's off and running. Talking to the property manager, it's stabilized, in good shape. A few things we're going to do with it. I have a lot of plans for renovations and improvements, but it's in a great market. Really look forward to it.
Okay. Yeah, you do have two interesting deals. I could go a couple in depth. So let's start with the second deal because I think it's a little bit more stable and I may have less questions. But what interests me about the second deal is the 1031 exchange that you're doing. And you know, I've got this new concept, I call it multifamily Moneyball, right? In Moneyball, you're basically in an emerging market and you're replacing the equity that you have in one property with the equity in another property. And you're stepping up to a bigger basis with more equity and more cash flow with taking no money out of your pocket. And if you do that two or three times, before you know it, you have multiple millions of dollars in equity, huge amounts of cash flow, starting from very little or nothing at the very beginning. And that's what I call Moneyball. Let's talk about this 1031 exchange. What is the deal that you get into before this 1031 exchange?
Well, what you described fits me really pretty closely. I started this about 11 years ago with a very small three-unit property and owned it for a little while and then had equity and 1031 into a larger property, a 15-unit property. I've had that 15-unit property for about 6 years, but my goodness, a lot of equity.
So now I want you to explain what a 1031 exchange is
absolutely.
And the benefit.
It's a section of the IRS code that allows a real estate investor to defer capital gains taxes by taking the equity built up in one property and moving it wholesale into the next property and defer the capital gains taxes on it. And you can essentially do that indefinitely as long as that law still exists, but you have to follow the rules. There are a number of rules and not easy rules. Yes.
Yeah, there are a number of rules involved. Sometimes they're easy, sometimes they're not, but they're time constrained. That's the biggest problem with the or anyone exchange, but you can do it and you can create wealth. And the best part is your basis, it can go all the way up to your last property, which means you won't owe any taxes if you die and hand off that property to the next generation, which is a beautiful thing. Except there's one problem with that, John. You have to die, right?
Yes. Awesome benefit. And I clearly have been in mind before I can finally kick the bucket. I can maybe do another one.
Yeah, just think of how much you've gained in cash flow along the way. So quickly, take me three family to a 15 unit. How much did you have in equity in the three family that you moved up to the 15 unit?
I only had about $160,000. I mean, I'd started with half that, my three unit, and then $160,000 I took into the 15 unit.
Yeah.
And it grew to about $850,000. A lot of equity grew up after.
So let me get this straight. From the three unit, you brought $150,000 into the 15 unit. And from the 15 unit, that grew up to $800,000. And now did you go move from the 15 unit into this deal?
Yes.
So you took that $800,000, bought a what size property?
A 40 unit.
For how much?
$4.1 million.
How much did you pay for that three-unit property all those years ago?
760, I think. 725, something around there, yeah.
720. Wow, that's a lot of money all those years ago. But yes. So 725,000, but you've gotten up to 425. Did you say 4.25?
4.1 million. Yes.
4.1 million, of which you've got 800,000 in equity. What's this tracking at? Are you at the bottom of an emerging market? Do you have value add in here? How are you going to top that equity with more?
It is absolutely an emerging market. It's a growing area. It's south of Kansas City. It's outside of Overland Park in Shawnee, Kansas. Great newer communities, path to progress. A lot of companies moving their employees there, large companies. Sprint, actually part of T-Mobile, not too far away from there. But I track a lot of other companies that progressively 100, 200, 500 employees coming into that area. So it's growing. It is an opportunity for renovations, adding value in a number of areas. That's not the primary attractor for it. I wanted something mainly stable that provided me cash flow that allowed me to spend more time doing other real estate. It's stable, but there's definitely units that have not yet been renovated. And that's really what I'm targeting.
Going into this deal, what would your cash flow be at the end of the year? How much are you going to put in your pocket, do you think?
I mean, it's a wide range. It could go in a number of different directions between about 90 and 150 or so.
90 to 150,000 in your pocket from the 40 unit.
Correct. Yeah.
Let's say it's 100,000. How much were you putting in your pocket with the 3-unit deal at the end of the year?
About 25.
So you just tripled your net cash flow going into your pocket by simply doing 1031 exchanges, taking no money out of your pocket to do it.
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, it's all based on, I mean, you know, this is based on this metric of return on equity. It's like you have so much equity, your returns on the equity are just so low after a while owning a property that it makes all the sense in the world to get it out and put that equity to better use.
Yep, that's awesome. All right. So I just wanted to get that concept out there. I don't want to talk a lot about this particular one. I want to talk about the next one. I wanted to get the concept out there of 1031 exchanges because, again, I've got this new presentation. It's called Multifamily Moneyball. It's all about how to invest in emerging markets and how to increase that equity. You've been going through this process for 11 years. If you jump from emerging market to emerging market, you can actually do it in 3 to 4 years too. It all depends on the situation, the dynamics of the market as well. If anybody's interested in that presentation, it's going to be March 31st. Call Jeannie at the office and she will get you an invitation to watch that presentation. But it's going to be an all-day event. All right, so let's talk about this new deal because what intrigues me about it or this deal that you closed that was less than 50% occupied.
Yes.
All right. And this deal was where?
Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Tulsa, Oklahoma. Okay, so what attracted you to Tulsa?
I like Tulsa because it is a strong growing market and it is not Texas or Florida or Arizona. Those are awesome markets, but there's just so much competition. I mean, I like them. I like a lot of the Southeast markets, but when I was working with my coach is Craig and explaining the problems that I had and he recommended I move inland to less competitive markets, but still strong markets. And I looked around, there's a number of them and I just kind of settled on Tulsa for a number of reasons. I like the direction that it's going. It's attracted a lot of technology types of companies, and it's established itself as a low-cost hub with a lot of community amenities all around. This is a very nice place to live, a lot of attractors around it, nice climate, and good qualities about Tulsa in general. Then I started talking with brokers and finding about the deals, and I realized there's a lot of deals in Tulsa that attract a tremendous amount of investor interest, and so there are people looking at these properties. It's not at all uncompetitive. There's a lot of demand for the properties, which is good for an owner and somebody who wants to eventually sell the property. But I could see that it was a good community, a nice city, a lot of nice things happening. Actually, if you remember 1 year ago, Elon Musk almost put his Cybertruck Tesla plant in Tulsa. It was Tulsa and Austin eventually won. But man, it put Tulsa on the map. People started realizing there's something about Tulsa that people like.
I got 2 comments. First of all, is that the ugliest truck you've ever seen? Where do you put the stuff?
Once you see it on the road a few times, I think a lot of people are going to like it.
It's you like it?
Cool now.
All right, that's cool. The second thing is I told everybody to call Jeannie, but I didn't give a phone number. So if you're interested in that presentation on March 31st on Multifamily Moneyball, 781-878-7114. 781-878-7114. Okay, good. So how did you get this particular deal?
I was talking to brokers. I talked to a number of them. And ironically, 2 years ago, I saw this property available. One owner had about 3 properties and they were all fairly low occupancy. They'd bought them in much lower occupancy. It was kind of their model is to buy these down and out properties and do wholesale soup to nuts renovations. And they did that on all 3 properties. And this one, they were in the middle of, they're still doing renovations, had renovated most of the units 2 years ago. They just decided to put them all for sale and nobody bought the three of them together, and the information on the offering memorandum was wrong, and I just passed on the deal. And I said, that's not for me. And then beginning of 2021, I was talking to another broker, a different broker, and he said, well, I've got this property. And I said, I already heard about that. And it had these issues. And he said, oh, no, that's not correct. This is the real story on this property. And he told it to me, and I became interested and looked into it further and discovered it was really a good opportunity. About 40% occupancy, but he was making good progress and mainly renovations. He was leasing up also, but it was definitely low occupancy. And I know from things that you teach and coaches that low occupancy deals, they're high risk, and investors don't often want them. And so I was a little concerned about that, but I thought this opportunity is too good because it looked nice, it had nice curb appeal already from the outside. The owner had done a lot of nice upgrades on the outside, and it had a nice appeal, and it was a decent area of the town. And we saw some of the insides of the units, and they had done a nice job on those, and we knew what we had to do.
Let me ask you a question. Who taught your multifamily millions class, 3-day class?
It was mainly, I was in one of Bob Bowman's classes. Jeff Lindahl had taught another one, and there was a class with Jeff Lehrman. I mean, I've been in a lot of your classes too.
Yeah. Do you remember the multifamily millions 3-day? Did you go to the multifamily millions 3-day class?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I thought it was you. Pardon me?
Okay. No. Yeah. I was just wondering who taught it. You know, I taught it for 12 years straight. And then I had two different instructors. I had Tyler Devil. I trained him on how to teach that class. And Bob Venter, I trained him on how to teach that class. Yeah. So I was just wondering which of the three of us that you had. But if you had me, right, and I know there's a small portion of that class where we talk about repositioning, but I always talk about two questions that you have to get the answer to, the right answer to, whenever you go into a repositioning, like you're talking about a property that has gone down to very low occupancy. Do you remember what those two questions are?
No, they are. I took it in about 2015, I think.
All right. They are, number one, how did it get here? You probably asked these questions. You just don't remember me saying this on stage. How did it get here?
Yep.
Right. And then the next question is, can I fix this?
Yep.
Right. And you need to know, and the answer to the second question has to be yes. So how did it get there? How did it get to below 50% occupancy?
Well, it's an interesting story. About 10 or 15 years ago, as I was told the story, and I've been told it from multiple people, is there were certain key investors who bought a number of multifamily properties in this general area within like a couple square miles that sucked them dry, just ran them into the ground. Then they sold them for probably not too much. And the whole economic part of it makes no sense at all to me, but that is apparently what they do. And there were a number of properties that had virtually hardly anybody living there anymore. Then there were people that came along, like this particular prior owner who buys these. They're bottom feeders, and they just buy these properties that they know can be turned around. Well, they can't know for sure, but it was definitely a good area, a healthy economy, and they knew what to do. They had renovation crews. They were going to get the work done inexpensively and quickly, and their crews moved from property to property.
So you figured out why, you figured out, can I fix it? And you felt the answer was yes, because you had the right company behind you. How did you find that right company? Because if you choose the wrong company, the two reasons, this is another thing I always teach as well. The two reasons that repositionings fail is, number one, you hire the wrong management company. And if you think you can do it yourself, you're wrong. And then number two, you run out of cash. So how did you know which management company was the right management company?
One of my partners already had considerable experience with them, introduced me to them. CEO of the company came out, met him, talked with him, and talked with a number of other key people in that market. They were in a number of other markets. They had done this. They had a good track record and good properties in other areas in Tulsa, Oklahoma City, Arkansas, Kansas, Texas, a number of other places. So I knew that they had a good track record and they could do this.
That's awesome. So that's it. That's track record. Referral is usually the first thing. Somebody that you know and trust refers you to them. And then number two, you check out their track record, and especially track record in that community as well. And you just said they have done deals in Tulsa. So that's good. Okay. So next question. The first one was you hired the right management company. So number two is, how did you ensure that you didn't run out of money on this? How did you fund this deal?
Two ways. Investor equity was one key piece of it. In retrospect, probably could have raised more money. We could have used more money just as a buffer and reserve, but we've gotten over that hump and we're in good shape. The second piece of it is our loan, the structure of our loan. It's a bridge loan with the construction piece to it. And we went through methodically each one of the areas of renovation that we had to do, not just the inside of the units, not just surfacing countertops and appliances and new flooring. And what do we want to do with the cabinets and all that stuff? Some of the heating units need to be replaced. Just had to line item detail all of that. But our property manager who did the inspection was really a good partner with that. We came up with general ballpark estimates for what it was going to cost to do the complete renovation for this. This is everything that we thought we needed. And we had to be sort of generous on it because we had to make sure that we weren't going to cut ourselves short and that prices were going to go up. We're going to have a hard time finding contractors. Appliances were already hard to find a year ago. We had to build in buffers and we did that. And that was all part of our loan package. And that's what we're working through now. So the loan structure that we have provides us a funding allowance to be able to do that. So we're picking up on all the different pieces that we need to accomplish these renovations. We're making construction draws.
Where are you in this process? When did you close on it?
We closed to the end of June of 2021.
So have you completed the renovations or where are you?
We are about 70% through the renovations and we're less than 50% through our construction budget. So we're in pretty good shape there. We're already talking in terms of reallocating some of the construction budget into potentially different projects that we've identified since we took it over. So we're in good shape and good shape in terms of leasing up also. Leasing up is a key piece of it. We're constantly on our property manager. How's lease up going? They're providing us good information.
Okay. I'm looking at my show notes and I'm seeing that one of the problems that you faced was that the breaker panels were stab lock. I had never heard that term before. Could you explain to myself and everybody else what stab lock means?
Yes. Their Federal Pacific is the company that made these breaker panels called Stablock breaker panels. Yep. And they were built in the 60s and into the 70s. And then they were discovered to be fire hazards and they could never build them anymore. But a lot of properties are left over with these breaker panels and insurance companies do not like them.
Is it because it's copper wiring?
No, it is copper wiring, but it's not because they're copper wiring. It's the design of the breaker. Does it not always trip when there's a fire or a circuit?
And, that must only be for, is that for that particular area?
No. I've understood that they're throughout the U.S.
Wow. In all my years of investing since 1996, I have never heard that term before.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
It's a good one to know.
Yes. So the problem naturally was nobody wanted to insure us. The insurance companies we found were going to charge a lot and we paid more. We are paying more this year for insurance. And we swore to them that we would fix the breaker panels first. And we have accomplished that. And
don't they usually give you 90 days? I know if you've got pig and tail wiring, give you 90 days to fix it, to cure it.
No, they didn't. And I'm glad they didn't. We did not get it done in 90 days. We had a hard time finding an electrical contractor, but we did finish it probably in about 6 months or so it took us.
All right, here's the next question. How did you find that insurance company that would actually insure it?
Again, a lot of calls, phone calls, referrals, asking brokers, people in the town, you got to get on the phone. It's something people don't do too much these days, but there's a lot of interested insurance brokers. I meet insurance people at certainly all the partnering conferences, like a lot of insurance people that you meet, but they don't always know the market. They're not always the right people. You have to get a lot of people interested.
What other big surprises came up during this? Was everything under budget? Did something go way over budget? Did you give a padding in for something and you're glad you did because it was much higher than you thought?
There are two main water heaters on the property. They're both gas powered, large water heaters that they supply everybody's hot water, 96 units. And we knew they were sort of getting old, but one went out. And then shortly after that, the other one went out and we had to scramble. And this is the middle of winter. And so we had to scramble to get them replaced. Fortunately, a plumbing contractor that we knew had knew of large replacement water heaters in stock and got them done quickly, but they're large bills. And just like about $13,000 or so to replace each one of them. We were not planning on that. Unfortunately, we had buffers. Another was the heating units. We have PTACs, mini splits, some of our outside air handlers, and we've had to sort of cannibalize some PTACs to get other PTACs working. We've had to replace a number of them that were just too small. I mean, they're studios and one-bedroom units, so they're not huge units, but still, we needed enough to be stable, consistent heat. We spent a little more on that than we expected to, but we did spend less on the breaker panels than we planned. We planned to spend a lot and we got a good contractor and got that job done.
So are you at over or under budget right now, 3/4 of the way through?
Oh, we are definitely under budget. Yes.
Sweet. All right. Now I got a question for you. How much all in will you be when you get done with the rehab?
We will be about 4.2 million. The price is about 3.85, and we'll be about between 250 and 350. I think between, you know, low fours, around 4.2.
Okay. So now this is going to give you ability to increase the rents. Once all of the rental increases are done, what's the property worth?
The property should be worth at least around $5.5-6 million. Although the property next door, which coincidentally was owned by the same owner that we bought ours from, was sold like a few months prior to ours. The current owner is now offering it. They're offering it at a sale of around $83,000 a unit. I don't think they're going to get that. And their rents are a little higher. They're a little more stable than we are, but we'll certainly get there. If we're at $83,000 a unit, I mean, goodness, that's about $8 million valuation. I don't think we're going to get there. I'd love it if we did.
How do they compete better than you in the marketplace? Let me see. Apples for apples. Are you the same as them or are you different?
They have some 2 and 3 bedroom units, which we do not have. They are higher occupancy.
You can fix that.
Yep. And we're on our way. Yes.
That would be amazing if you hit 7 million a door. But you know, in today's market, there's such crazy numbers being thrown out there and people are taking. It doesn't go too far. But let's just say that where you are conservatively and you get 5.5, you're still like a year into this project. Once you finish the year and you raise those rents, you're still up like 1.25 million.
We will have doubled equity.
That's pretty sweet.
In about a year.
That's a good deal, John. All right. So I am going to end the podcast right now. I want to thank John for being our special guest here. This has been another edition of Multifamily Deal Lab. If you decide there's something you want at our office, RE Mentor, call us at 781-878-7114. We'll be happy to be of service to you in terms of education. So see you next week. Same time, same channel.
This has been another edition of Multifamily Deal Lab. If watching on YouTube, please be sure to hit the like button, the subscribe button, so you don't miss the next session, and review the contact links on this page.